Good morning. Good morning. Hope everybody is doing well on a gorgeous, gorgeous morning. Beautiful, beautiful Lord's Day. Wonderful opportunity to be able to see some folks and to be able to gather around. If you happen to be visiting with us today, we are glad that you're here with us. If you happen to be new to joining our broadcast by way of Facebook, we are glad that you're with us today. We welcome you. And of course, we're doing something that's a little bit non-traditional as far as a welcome. Specifically in this day and age, as well as with COVID on the rise, here's what I want you to do. Now, I'm going to let our online community start off first because obviously it may take them a little bit more time since they're typing instead of speaking. So if you're part of our online community and you're joining us here today, be sure to say hello to Dr. Gant, who is monitoring the feed. I want you to say hello to him, and I want you to also say hello to somebody on that feed. You know how we used to shake hands, greet each other, give each other a hug? That's how our online community does that. Be sure to say hello to somebody there that you know, and in particular, somebody that you don't know. If you see somebody there you don't know, give them a hello. Try to see if you get to know each other. For us that are here on campus, look over there beside you and wave at somebody or say hello. Yeah, that way you don't get COVID. Yeah, and be sure to wave at Melinda as she holds her granddaughter over there in the corner. And we'll get that plug in there for you, Grandma. You look so happy over there in the corner. What a blessing. If you're outside today joining our service from the lawn, be sure to wave at somebody. If you're in your car over beside you, wave at somebody. If you're in the sanctuary, one of those people around you, give them a warm Central Baptist hello and greeting. And we're so glad that you have joined us together as we gather around the Lord's Word. And we're so looking forward to what God has planned and what God has in store. Today is one of our special days of in-gathering. As you have been observing over the past week or so, you've had an opportunity to see Tony do the videos and promote our Lottie Moon Christmas offering for international missions. Every bit of this goes to keep those missionaries on the field. We have asked you to prayerfully consider about what you would give toward our $9,000 goal as a church to support international missions. And we hope, trust, and pray that you have done that. Now, what we normally do at our time of in-gathering, usually we will bring our offering up. We'll lay it on the altar, which would be here in front of me. If you were in the sanctuary, it would be over there. We're not going to ask you to do that today. We're just asking you to put that in one of the offering receptacles as you leave. It can be mark it Lottie Moon. If you just put Lottie Moon on it, it'll get where it's going. But it's actually the Lottie Moon offering for international missions. But designate it for that. If that's where your heart's desire is to contribute, we hope and pray that it is. Not only to take the place of your tithe, that's not what it's about, but this is a gift that's over and above your tithe and offerings. So that's why we always ask the Lord to bless our tithes and offerings. So don't take away or rob God from one thing to do something that's still a good thing, but nonetheless not fulfilling his biblical requirement when it comes to giving. But what we're going to ask you to do is we're going to take just a moment. If Lynn would just play something there for just a moment, I could put her on the spot. And I'm just going to ask you, wherever you are, if you want to make your way to the altar, lay it there, you can do that. But we're asking that wherever you may be, if you're at home and you're watching from home and you have that offering that you're going to send in or you're going to give online through our website, we're asking that you would pray for those who will be the recipients of this offering. And when I say recipients, I don't mean just our missionaries that it will keep on the field, but also those whose hearts and lives will be touched because your faithfulness and obedience to answer the call that God has put in your heart and your life to give towards this offering. So right now what we're going to do is we're going to spend these moments in prayer. We're going to ask God's blessing upon the offering. If you would like to place it in the receptacle or at the altar, either here in our sanctuary, wherever you may be, you can do that now. If not, you can take care of it at the appointed time at the end of the service. Whatever is best suited for you and you feel most comfortable with. So let's spend some time in prayer right now, asking God's blessing upon this offering. Our Father, we come to you today realizing that all that we have comes from you. And that, Lord, it truly belongs to you. It doesn't belong to us. And Lord, as you have placed it on our heart to support those whom you have called to leave their home, leave their home country, and go overseas because of a passion to see people come to know Jesus, to reach out to the far ends of the earth, to share the saving grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Lord, we ask that not only would you bless our missionaries and bless their mission as they go forward, but Lord, we thank you for allowing us to partner, to provide the support that they need to be able to stay on the field and to be effective. So Lord, what we're doing is being faithful to what you've called us to do in giving to this offering. We are asking that you would bless it, bless those missionaries, multiply this offering that many may come to know you simply because of our faithfulness. Lord, thank you for allowing us to be a part, a special part of your plan. So Lord, we again just ask that you bless the offering, bless this gift, bless the giver, bless the receiver. As Lord, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Listen, I know your heart's going to be blessed. We're so close to Christmas. I trust and pray that you have the Christmas spirit, not only now, but all year. I know it's heightened at this particular time of the year, but I know that you're going to be blessed as Lynn leads us in worship today. Amen. Thank you, Lynn. And how true is it? Emmanuel, God with us, and he truly is here with each and every one of us today. If you have your Bible this morning, turn with me, if you would, to Luke's Gospel in chapter 2. Luke's Gospel in chapter 2. Today, as we look at a different segment of the Christmas story as recorded in the Word of God, we're going to look at folks from complete polar opposite ends of the spectrum when it comes down to the Christmas story. Now, I know that as we take the time and as we look around, we see people in our lives that are completely different social and economic ends of the spectrum from us. And we look at that. There are some that have been blessed in ways, and some run in circles that are not quite ours, as the old boy would say. That we don't even feel comfortable in those circles, and not because it's not okay for us to be there. It's just that that's not what we're used to, not what we're accustomed to. But these two groups we're going to look at today were on opposite ends of the social ladder. And for the moment, I want us to realize that for you and I today, we fit in one of these two groups. Yeah, whether you like it or not, we wind up being lumped in and grouped with one of these two groups. Look with me, if you would, at Luke's Gospel, chapter 2, and we're actually going to begin reading with verse 8. Luke chapter 2, beginning with verse 8, it says, "And now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night, and behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone round them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign to you, that you shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger.'" Let's pray together. Father, we thank you today for your word. We thank you, Father, for the fact that your word speaks to us. It is relevant to us today. Lord, it is not just something that simply comes from history. Lord, it is true, and it is specifically designed for each and every person who is living and breathing today. Lord, I pray that you will help us today to learn lessons from your word, to apply them in our hearts and in our lives, that we may be forever changed because we have gathered around your word. Help us, Lord, to see the call in each and every one of our lives to truly come to the Savior. Lord, I pray that you would use me as your messenger for these moments, that you and you alone truly would be exalted during this time, that as we lift you up, you will truly draw all men unto you. And so we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, a moment ago I said that we fall into two categories. When we begin to look at the shepherds are one of these categories of people in which not only did you find in that day, but also people that you find in this day. And the shepherds essentially represent the vast majority of all humanity. Yeah, they represent they call them the upper 90%ers of the world. And when you begin to think about what the shepherds' socioeconomic status was in that day, most of you would sit back and say, "Yeah, I kind of fit into that as well." So, what were the qualifications of being part of this category that made the shepherds what they were in regard to these passages? Well, they were simple, hardworking people. They were people who struggled most of their lives to get by. They struggled to make ends meet. And you know, sometimes when I think about that, I can hear the amens coming from the heart. Oh, I know what that's like. I got to get up every day. I got to go out there to work. And thanks be to God, my bills are paid and I'm happy. I'm not the person who can just sit out there and make it rain. Now, how many of us know somebody like that? You know, be honest with us. You know somebody like that, I mean, at times when you've left them, you're driving down the road in the car, you've said, "Boy, I'll tell you one thing. I wish I had the money that they threw away. I wish I had the money that they spent on just stuff just to be able to survive." Now, I'm not saying you were jealous, maybe you were, but I'm saying that at least for a moment you realized there was a difference between you and them when it came down to economics and social ability when it came down to finances. Well, here were the shepherds who were out there. They were struggling. I'm not saying that they weren't proud of what they did. I believe most of them probably took great pride in it, because another characteristic and quality of these shepherds is that they were very, very dependable. Not only were they very dependable, they were also very committed to their jobs. Yeah, most of the time, sheep are not exactly the most intelligent animal out there, if you will look in history, and I'm being kind saying it that way. Most people would say that they're one of the dumbest animals out there. They'll just wander around they're just not the sharpest tool in the shed. So that means that they have to have constant supervision. Otherwise, they'll just roam around and run off. Even at nights, if you look back over the history of how things worked, there were still shepherds that were on duty at night. It was a 24-hour-a-day, 7-day-a-week thing for shepherds. Now, they probably had some shifts. They probably had some people help them. They probably had some that would be with them during the day, some of them that would be with them at night. Often at night, what they would do is they would bring the sheep into a walled-off area, and all the sheep would go in there. Now, this is a different sermon for a different day, but it's ironic that the scripture says this, where Jesus said, my sheep know, I know my sheep, and I call them by name, and my sheep know me. Y'all have heard that before? You know what part of that relates to? Part of that relates to the fact that all these sheep were often put together inside the confines of those walls, like a warehouse, for lack of a better word. So all the shepherds could bring their sheep to a particular place in the evening, and then that next day when they would start out to take them out to graze in the pastures, the shepherd would call the sheep, and the sheep would come. Why would the sheep come to the shepherd? Because they knew their master by name. You know, it's so ironic that if you've ever had a dog or grew up with a dog, they know you by name, don't they? When they're getting into something and you go, Sparky! Yeah, or they might be, somebody else might be calling them, but they'll hear your voice and they know your voice. The Lord knows us by name, and we should know his voice. Now, that was a little bit extra. Again, that was a different message for a different day. But here were these shepherds. They were the hardworking class. They were the class of people who didn't have a whole lot of extra that was going on. I'm not saying that they weren't happy, but they were fulfilled in what they did. But socially, the shepherd was not something that you inspired your children to be when they grew up. Yeah. No parent ever wanted to hear their son say, "Ooh, when I grow up, I want to be a shepherd." Yeah. Moms and dads at that point would go, I have something a little higher for you. I have something, I would like to see you strive to be something a little more excellent than a shepherd. So remember what I said a moment ago. I said those shepherds really make up the majority of the two people that we're going to look at and compare today. They were not part of the educated class, and most of them had very, very little power, if any whatsoever, in society as they went forward. They were your hard-working classification of people doing the best that they could. But they had a very interesting quality. Look in verse 8 of our passage today. Verse 8 says this. It says, "Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone round them, and they were sore afraid. And then the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord.'" You know what those shepherds did? They listened to what God had to say. Now, that sounds like a very elementary principle of walking in a Christian walk and living a Christian life, doesn't it? God speaks, we listen. That's a lot more complicated than it sounds, isn't it? How many of us will admit Hey, God has spoken and I didn't listen. The rest of you need to repent right now. Because I can make you a promise that if you have trusted the Lord and you have walked with Him, there have been those moments when He has spoken to you and you ignored Him. You ever had, well, let's not make it bad towards you. Have you ever had somebody ignore you? Have you ever had that situation where you felt like evidently your voice had such a pitch or frequency that that particular person just absolutely couldn't hear what you were saying? Most of the time, that's a parent-child relationship. Yeah, it's just something about it that they just don't seem to be listening. But there are other times when you have said something to somebody and you knew, and not only in your heart of hearts, but evidence showed they heard what you said, but they weren't paying attention. They were like, you know what I'm saying? How many times do we do that with God? We sit back and say, Lord, speak to me. And Lord says, okay, here's what I want you to do. And we go, that must have been for someone else. That couldn't have been for me, because it's going to take me some time to do that. It's going to take me some effort to do that. It's going to take me some financial input from my wallet to do that. The Lord must have been talking to someone else. Couldn't have been me. But see, we feel like if we ignore it, it's going to go away. So I guess we're just going to look the other way on this one, God. See, look, one of the qualities the shepherds had, not only did they listen to God, they reacted to what God had told them, to what the angel had told them. They listened to the message. People who were listening to God's message of hope that we read about in His Word turned to Him. Yet things change. Yeah, but what happens is so often we allow things of the world to crowd out God's voice in our lives. You know, I heard it explained one time by a fella. He said, just because there's static on the radio station and just because you're not listening to the radio station doesn't mean it's not still broadcasting. You know what? There are hundreds of radio stations that are broadcasting right now, and you just have to tune the right frequency in to hear them and to hear them clearly. You see where this is going as a spiritual example? Yeah, when reading God's Word, being in God's Word, listening to what He has to say, being obedient to what He's calling us to do, is tuning that frequency in so that we might hear God so clearly. But we allow too much clutter to go on in our lives. I mean, the other day, we were walking out of a store, and Jana said, "Oh, listen, they're playing Christmas music," and I could hear it in the parking lot. And Blake said, "They were playing it inside too." I never heard it. You know why? Because I'm getting old and don't hear very well, for one thing. But the other thing is that there were so many distractions around me. This one shopping, this one doing this, cash registers making noises, all these things taking place was drowning out the quietness of that music just in the background coming through. I didn't even hear it till I got to a place where the distraction wasn't there. And then I heard the music. Folks, I want to challenge you today to put aside the distractions in your life that are preventing you from, number one, hearing what God has in store for you. That's number one. But not only hearing it, that you might be obedient to what God is calling you to do. You will hear it clearly. Now, some of us will wind up in have a Gideon sensation. Remember what Gideon did? God said to Gideon, "Here's what I want you to do." Gideon said, "Well, Lord, I think that's you, but if it's you, here, let me put this fleece." Now, you know what a fleece is. A lot of people are sitting around with them around you in your rocking chair today. You know, you're trying to stay warm. It was a little blanket. It says, "Well, Lord, let me put the fleece out and let the ground all around it be wet, and in the morning it be dry. And if that's the case, I know without any shadow of a doubt, that's what you want me to do." God says, "All right." He puts it out, wakes up in the morning, ground is wet with dew, fleece is dry as a bone. Should have been great, right? Gideon says, now, Lord, I know the fleece is dry. I know that the ground is wet, but maybe a camel was standing over it last night. But maybe that's what happened. Maybe some freak thing happened, and I just need to know that this is your will and your plan. So let's do this again. Only this time, when I put the fleece out, when I get up in the morning, let the fleece be wet with dew and the ground be dry. Now, I love how Gideon said that. Lord, now don't be upset with me. Please don't be upset with me, Lord. Yeah. I just need to know. I'm picturing God going, oh. So what happens though? He's gracious. Gideon gets up in the morning, ground is dry, fleece is wet. Says he wrings out several bowls of water. Get the picture? Folks, God's will for your life isn't going to change just because we ignore it. So the shepherds, not only were they listening to what the Lord was having to say to them, they were doing it at a time when they were busy. We know that it was nighttime. We know that they were probably there looking to close another long, hard day. We know that in the midst of it, they were probably sitting back going, this is not exactly the paper that I wrote in 12th grade English that said, where will I be in 5 years from now? Y'all remember those? This ain't cutting it from what I thought I was going to be. But nonetheless, I am where I am. And then something incredibly great happened to them. God appeared to them. Why is it that you think that God appeared to the lower class of society at that point? You know, it's all often been foretold through prophecy in the days of the Old Testament that there would be a coming Messiah, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. You know what? These people most of the time don't feel like they fit in with that crowd. They don't feel like they fit in with the country club crew. They're like, you know, this is uncomfortable for me. You know, if I go there with them, I don't have the finances to even be able to afford to stand in their presence. How many of y'all have ever been somewhere where you felt kind of out of place because of that? Oh, I have too. Yeah. You're putting on the dog for the day. You're like, that's right. I'm going to play rich for a day. And you spend the next 6 months trying to recover from it. That's how that works. But we know, hey, that just feels weird and uncomfortable. Oftentimes you don't know. It's tea time. Well, how do we do that? Well, I guess you eat the cookie like everybody else does. And you drink the tea like everyone else does. Yeah, you've seen people before. They're drinking tea. I don't even like hot tea. They're drinking the hot tea. Why? Because that's what everybody else is doing. But yet they listened to the message of God. And not only that, the shepherds were those who confirmed. We know that when they heard what it was that God had told them, they got together and said, we got to go see this. We need to go see the newborn king. Something is compelling us to do that. Folks, the Holy Spirit in your life is compelling you today to come to Jesus. And if you have come to Jesus, the Holy Spirit is compelling you to be along with His plan for your life. The question is, what will you do? The shepherds didn't sit around. Now, we know that the Word tells us that when the angel of the Lord appeared to them, they were afraid. They were scared because nothing like this had ever happened. All of a sudden, in the midst of the darkness of night, comes this great light and comes a voice that was an audible voice that was heard that said, you know, you are going to go to Bethlehem and you'll find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes lying in a manger. Don't be afraid. Fear not. I don't know, if I was you and I was in their position and nobody's ever seen anything like that before, something extremely extraordinary happened and they were like, well, even in the midst of the extraordinary, they said, we got to go check this out. Let's go. Let's see, you know, I don't know whether they assigned somebody to stay with the sheep or what, but they got up from where they were and they began to go in the direction of where the Savior was. some of us need to get up from where we are right now and head in the direction to where the Savior is, that we might meet Him there because He has an assignment for us. I still remember growing up working construction. You didn't report to an office. You reported to the driveway, and then you got an assignment. We would be going somewhere, and it was usually, often it wasn't the same place twice. You know, you might be working here. Then the next day, you might have a project over there. We were going to different places because that's where the boss was sending us. Folks, let me tell you, God has shown up today in your heart, and He is sending you to where Jesus is. I like Henry Blackaby's Experiencing God. He said, what we need to do is we need to find where God is working and go join Him. You know, some of us are sitting back saying, well, God's just not working right here. Then find out where He's working and go join Him there. That's the easy part. Which means we have to move from where we are to where He is. The shepherds had to get up. They left their sheep to be obedient to God's call in their life. They left and they went and they found the babe lying in a manger, wrapped in swaddling clothes, just as had been told them by the angels. It was true. It was true. And it says this, you ready? They rejoiced, and when they went away, they began to proclaim to everyone the things that they had seen and the things that they had heard. They left as missionaries. They went out and told you why. It wasn't that they went away from there going, oh, now we just got to go tell people about this. No, they did it because they were excited. Folks, let me ask you a question. When is the last time you got excited about what God is doing in your life? I asked that to a guy one time, and you know what he told me? He said, well, it's been a really long time because God hadn't been doing anything in my life. And then he went on to confess, but it ain't his fault, it's mine. Let's get excited about God's plan, what God's doing in our life. Because when that happens, you don't have to sit back and say, well, let's take this class on how to witness without fear. We will be so excited, we cannot help but tell people, like Paul said, the things we have seen and the things that we have heard. You see, the shepherds discovered what others only dreamed of finding. Now that was one group. We talked about those that were considered to be the lowest on the socioeconomic ladder. That was one perspective. What was the other perspective? Well, you can hold your finger there in Luke 2 and just back up to Matthew chapter 2. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 2, and we're actually going to begin reading in verse 1 there as well. And here is the other group identified that came to see the Savior. Matthew 2, beginning with verse 1, says, now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him. When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all of the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. So they said to him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, but you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among rulers of Judah, for out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, determined from them what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search carefully for the young child, and when you have found him, bring back word to me that I may come and worship him also. When they had heard the king, they departed, and behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Now, when we look at the message that went out to those who were the wise men, now, you have to understand their social economic position. We said a moment ago that the shepherds were kind of the lower, hard-working man. These wise men were considered the wealthy and the educated. They were the ones that hung out at the country club, so to say. They were the ones who you probably didn't see mixing very much with the shepherds of those particular days. So the lesson that they got was unlike the shepherds in certain ways, but it does add a whole new dimension to the lesson. You know, many say they don't necessarily know who these men were. History and scholars have tried to find who were these men. All they know is that they were magi or that they were wise men, and they had come from the east. But here's what we do know about them. We do know that in the midst of their journey, they were men who were looking for the highest and the best truth that they could come about. They were seekers. Now, they were the type that said, you know what, I'm going to take this, whether it's a philosophy, whether it's the astronomy, and I am looking for the highest and the best truth that is out there, and the way to find that is to go out and to test that. That's what they were after. They had heard the prophecies of the coming Messiah. That's how they were able to put two and two together, even as the astrologers were looking in the star. It is believed that the star was such a phenomenal star, and they studied the astrology, and they saw something different. And as they did, they somehow connected that with the prophecy of a coming Messiah. Now, there's only one way to connect that, and that is by God putting it in their heart, by God leading them, by God allowing them. Now, when we look at these particular wise men, they were so dedicated to find the truth, to see this through, that they left on a journey. Now, I'm skipping ahead a little bit, but you'll notice in that scriptural passage, which I often like to point out, that the wise men didn't show up at the manger. The wise men didn't show up to find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes lying in a manger. These passages tell us they found him in the house. Further in the scripture, we learn that Herod said, you go find him and come back and let me know. But the wise men were also warned in a dream, don't go back and tell Herod, because he's going to do the young child harm. So the wise men didn't come back. When that happened, Herod began to be very upset. Kings didn't like competition in that day. Remember, the wise men said, we're looking for the newborn king. So Herod said, well, okay, I'll show them. They do that to me. They're not going to come back. They're not going to tell me. Here's how I can rid the world of this newborn king. See, I talked to the wise men before. This is the time they said the star appeared. And from then to this date is 2 years. So we're just going to have every male child killed in the Providence 2 years of age and younger. And that way we can eliminate the newborn king. So it is believed that the wise men came to Jesus. They had a 2-year journey. They had covered essentially from Iraq to Bethlehem, a 500-mile journey. And they didn't just jump on the bus, the car, or the plane. They had been seeking. How many of us are dedicated to seek the truth in that regard that much? Now, there were some other things that were interesting about these wise men. When we begin to think about it, these were wise men who had certainly traveled a great distance. Now, if we were putting this in church terms and you think about it, if the shepherds represented those who were kind of raised in or around the church, you know what I'm saying when I say that? How many times have we said, well, you know, I knew all the stuff because I was raised in church. How many of us were privileged enough to be raised in church? We know how it works. Now, how many of us are honest enough to say that we had been around and in and knew the function of the church, but we didn't really come to know the Savior till later on in life because we had been going through the motions of church? We thought that it was about what we did and how we acted rather than who we knew. So these shepherds, now remember, shepherds were the ones that were kind of raised in or near or around the church, but these men, the wise men, represented those who had zero church background. They weren't the ones that grew up with religion. They're not the ones that knew it. They weren't even the creasters. You know what a creaster is, right? Those that come on Christmas and Easter. They weren't even them. They didn't know anything about it. Folks, there are more and more people, even in the United States of America today, that know absolutely nothing about Jesus and nothing about the plan of salvation. You don't have to get on a plane and go overseas. They're right here in America. These wise men represent those. Now, you have to think about it. What were the wise men doing? When you look at it, look at how complicated it was to them versus the shepherds. We know that the angel of the Lord appeared to the shepherds and they heard it. Most of us would love for God to lead us the way the shepherds were led to the manger, wouldn't we? Wouldn't we like to sit back and say, Lord, I'm having an issue and I don't really know which way to handle this at work. And we want God to open the door of our prayer closet and say, oh, well, Tony, here's the way you need to handle that. And give you a verbal outline, an annotated outline on how to handle it. We would all be good at that, wouldn't we? That's what we want. Most of us have prayed, Lord, could you do a little Nebuchadnezzar thing and write on the wall? Make it so I can see it. Could you just speak to me? I know you hadn't done this in centuries, but how about speaking to me audibly because I am really at a loss and I'm really seeking you. Have you ever done that? Yeah. Me too, Hunter. I've done that. And it's like, Lord, you know, I don't want to get hit in the forehead with a 2x4 of your will, but I want to know. I want to do it. Can you just speak to me like you did these shepherds? See, that part was easy for them. Ooh, let's go do this. They told us where it was and everything. Now, think of the Magi. These were the fringe guys, but yet seekers. We don't hear that anybody appeared to them until after they had completed their journey. They were following a star. They were following a hunch. We don't see that the angel of the Lord appeared to them and said, oh, go follow the star, do we? We don't see that. They were sick. That's why they wound up at Herod's place to start with. Well, hey, this says that there's supposed to be this king. Now, this could be it. Let us go down there and let's go see the king. So if you're going to go see a king, where do you go see a king? At the capital and the palace. That's why the wise men wound up there. And they said, at the door, can we help you? And the wise men said, yes, we're here to see the newborn king. Say what? Why don't you boys come on in for a minute and have a seat? I'll be right with you. Herod, there are some strange dudes here at the door saying they're looking for the newborn king. Herod's like, competition? Let me go have a word with these men. Now, Herod was shrewd and Herod was sneaky. Because as they went to Herod, Herod said, what you boys looking for? They said, well, we're here to see the newborn king. And he says, let me find out where he is for you. Herod went and asked the wise men of the people, the scholars, those of that day and those of that age. He went to his wise men and said, where is this newborn king supposed to be? And they gave him the right answer. Have you ever noticed that they had the word of God and completely missed the Savior? Even Herod's wise men knew that Jesus was going to be born in Bethlehem of Judea and told Herod that. Herod went back and told the wise man, he's going to be down the road in Bethlehem. That's where you'll find him. And oh, by the way, when you find him, come back and let me know exactly where he is. I'm a really busy man, but I want to go worship him too. Can you tell me where he is? All the while, Herod trying to deceive the wise men. So the wise men, none the wiser, said, okay. And off they went. Now remember, this was a long journey for them. They came to the house. They didn't find him in the manger. They found him in the house. And it says, and when they did, they presented to him precious gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. They were giving God the best that they had. As seekers, all sincere seekers, sincerely seeking God, will end up at the same place. You notice that the wise men wound up at the same place the shepherds did around Jesus, right? Anybody seeking today will wind up at the same place, the foot of the cross, because that is where salvation lies. all sincere seekers make the same discovery of Jesus Christ. There is no other way unto salvation other than Jesus Christ. Today in our society and around the world, it is touted that Jesus is one of many ways to get into the kingdom of God. And I'm here to tell you today that that is a lie straight from the pits of hell off of the lips of servants of Satan. Because there is no other way by which we can be saved other than the shed blood of Jesus Christ, period. You've heard me say it many times. Jesus is not a good way to heaven. He is the only way. These wise men were sincerely seeking, and they went. Again, 2 years of a journey. Are we dedicated enough to seek the Lord in that regard when we don't know the answer, to continue to seek the truth, even if it takes years and years and years and years? And yet they brought Jesus their very best. Those who will pay the price to follow God's leading will come to a priceless experience with the Master. As we view those, and remember what I said when we started today's message, we find ourselves on one end of that spectrum or the other. We're either the hardworking shepherds who aren't the upper echelon of society, or we find ourselves as the wise men who are the upper echelon of society. My question is, are you seeking Jesus regardless of which end of that spectrum you are on? Let's stop worrying. If we're the shepherds, let's stop worrying about the wise men. In fact, the really cool part is the shepherds actually got there to the manger and saw Jesus when he was a baby. The wise men were 2 years behind. Think about it. The shepherds actually got to hear the audible voice of the angel telling them what was going on. And the wise men had to dig for it, didn't they? I don't know, when it comes down to leadership in that regard, I think I'd a whole lot rather be a shepherd than a wise man, wouldn't you? That's kind of what we're asking for at times. But nonetheless, will we wind up around the saving grace and the saving knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? See, we envy the experiences of the shepherds, and we envy the experience of the kings. And we can join them too if we follow the leading of our Father. Will we do that? Remember what I said a moment ago? If you're truly seeking the Lord, we will all wind up at the same place, regardless of the sociology or regardless of the economy of your life. I've always said this, the ground around the cross is level. Nobody's better than anyone else. And I've often said this, Jesus Christ paid the price on Calvary's cross and rose again for everyone, regardless of socioeconomic levels or values. If you're living and breathing, you have characteristics that God wants to use, and He loved you so much that He allowed His Son to pay the sin penalty on Calvary's cross and picked up the resurrection. For you, insert your name, for me, God loved me so much, He did that for me. God loved you so much that He did that for you. Will you experience the Lord today? Have you come to the manger? Have you come to the house? Or are you still sitting around? You know, it's interesting that good news is only good news if it's passed along, isn't it? If you have something amazing happen in your life, what's the first thing you do? You go tell someone, don't you? So what happens if you don't tell anybody? The news never gets out. The excitement doesn't become contagious. The shepherds, once they were there, it says they went away proclaiming God, proclaiming the good news, telling people what they'd seen and what they've heard. Folks, are we telling people what we've seen and what we've heard? Or has the angel arrived in the dark of the night while we're tending the sheep, and we've heard the call of God, and we've heard the voice, and yet we haven't gotten up to make our way to the Savior? Are we like the kings who have viewed the stars in the sky, realizing there's something different there, realizing that God is making a connection with his prophecy of the days of old and leading us to him? But have we left the comforts and the securities of where we are so that we might trade them in to be where God is? The wise men didn't have a clue. Yeah, and honestly, when you look at their story, the wise men didn't seem to be wise at all, did they? They didn't know where Jesus was. They were looking for him in the wrong place. In fact, they actually put him in jeopardy. They didn't really even hear from an angelic being or from heaven until after they had come to the house. It was after they saw Jesus when they were warned in a dream not to go back to Herod. I'm sure some of them were probably sitting around going, why couldn't you tell us stuff like this too? Where you been for the last couple years? Why didn't you just tell me where he was to start with? Man, now I feel bad. I got him in trouble. Herod's going to try to kill him. That ain't good. And we're the ones that they're going to essentially, no, we're not going to lead him to him. We're going to go the other way. But Herod still came up with a deceptive plan to kill all the male children 2 years of age and under. So my question for you this morning is, have you responded to the Savior's call? I'm going to ask Lynn if she would take her place for our time of invitation. You know, I actually titled this message, Accepting God's Invitation. In your life personally, I'm not talking about the invitation that we know of, that we're getting ready to have here as a formal thing, but I'm talking about the invitation where the Lord is speaking to your heart, where the Lord is speaking to your life. In the middle of all of the things that are going on, in the middle of your hard work, in the middle of your struggles, the Lord comes to you and says, will you come to Jesus? Are you willing to leave your flock behind to be obedient to the Master? Are you willing to do what he's asked you to do, to come into his presence? Maybe you're that lonely shepherd. You sense his call today. The Holy Spirit is calling you. See, the shepherds had the angel say, this is what's going on. You've got the Holy Spirit right now speaking into your heart and your life. Isn't that cool? You hear it? Calling you to salvation. If you know the Lord, maybe it's not the call for salvation, but maybe he's calling you to return to him. You're in a backslidden position. You've been so busy. You've been so caught up. You've been so uneasy in your life. No peace whatsoever. And like the prodigal son, God is calling you home. Do you hear it? Shh, listen. Do you hear it today? His call. Maybe you're like the wise men. And the Holy Spirit in your heart is just urging you to sense and to seek the truth. And you are looking for answers in your life, just like these wise men. They had no clue, but they were going to follow until they found the truth that came through Jesus Christ. And maybe today you're confused. Maybe you don't have any idea and you are seeking the truth. Let me make you a promise. Jesus is the truth. Not only does he speak the truth, he is the truth. And today he is calling you to join him. Will you be steadfast? Will you be dedicated to leave the comforts of what you know to find something even greater in our Savior? Think about the shepherds. Think about the wise men. Think about what not only they left along the way of their journeys, but what they received when they came into the presence of Jesus. So here's the great part. You can come into the presence of Jesus right now. And he can fill your heart. Listen, if you don't know him, I'm asking you today just to say, Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. I feel your call in my life to salvation. forgive my sin, and save my soul. Listen, if you ask the Lord to come in, he did. The word tells us, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Isn't that great? Today you trusted him. Today you start your journey to the presence of the Savior with his help, with his guides. Remember, the wise men didn't get the guidance in a more clear way until after they had been in the presence of Jesus. Then they were warned in a dream. Listen, Jesus will guide you. If you know him, he will guide you through the midst of your sorrows, through your troubles, through your trials, through your tribulations. And you're dying right now inside. You need that. But pride's keeping you from reaching out. The Lord says, I got this. Just turn it over to me. Will you do that today? Just simply say, Lord, I know I'm wayward. And I know you're my Savior. Father, help me be still and listen to you. Help me, Father, to become all you want me to be. Lord, help me to get excited again to tell others about you. Lord, to tell others the things that I personally have seen and I personally have heard concerning you. Receive me back into fellowship with you. In Jesus' name, amen. Listen, if you prayed in that prayer, the Lord has met you. He is running towards you in the same manner that the prodigal's father ran to him, to embrace you, not to call you a servant, but to call you a son. Isn't that great? As I pray that this Christmas will truly be the best Christmas ever in the presence of the Savior. Whether you're like the shepherds or whether you are like the wise men, will you accept his invitation in your life this day? I'm going to ask you to spend just a moment with the Lord as Lynn plays, and then I'll close us in a word of prayer with a few announcements. Let's pray together.
Me come.
Amen. Just as I am, and that's the way the Lord calls us today. Have you accepted His invitation? Don't leave this place today not having done so. If you're part of our online audience and the Lord's worked in your heart and there are some things that you need some help with, we would love to help you. Dr. Gant is working on our with our feed, our online feed. Just let us know. We'll do whatever we can to assist you. If you accepted Christ, we can work on getting you some discipleship material. We won't bother you. We want to celebrate with you. Please let us know if the Lord is leading you in a direction that you're just not real sure about right now. Listen, we're here. We will pray with you. We'll help you any way we possibly can. Just contact us and let us know. We would love to walk beside you each and every step of the way in this journey. In just a moment, I'm going to close us in a word of prayer. I want to give us a couple of quick announcements. First of all, we will not have Awana tonight. Awana is now on Christmas break until January the 3rd. So if you were planning on coming to Awana, essentially with numbers rising, we're trying to be careful. We're glad to be able to say that so far we have not had any exposures in Awana. That is not the reason why we're not having Awana tonight. It's because we know a lot's taking place, a lot's going on. We're trying to be safe with our children, and we figure we'll go ahead and start Christmas break a week early. January the 3rd. We will be coming back for Awana. I'm sure you'll hear from Commander Tony between now and then. Also, we do plan to have a vote on our budget. That is going to be December. Somebody help me with that. Debbie, what's the... 2 weeks from today. I am going ahead and announcing that we are going to have a conference to vote on our budget 2 weeks from today. Now, in keeping with that, we are going to have a vote, but we're also working on a way. Some logistics are being done right now to determine a way that we can have discussion. Some of our more technical gurus are working on that to allow folks a way to vote, even if you are not able to be here. If there are questions, we're going to have we're working on having a conference type forum to where you could ask those questions. We want to encourage you, as the budget will be out this week. It's out now. There are copies of the budget here. If you need a copy, if you are watching from home, let us know. If you do email, we'll try to email you a copy of that to get it into your hands. We want to encourage you, if you have questions, there's a finance email on there. There's an email address to the finance team. Ask those questions before we get into church conference. Finance will be happy to answer any question that you may have. You don't have to wait to the public forum. We don't exactly know what the public forum is going to look like yet. So we really want to encourage you, pick up a copy of the budget. 2 weeks from today, we will be voting on our 2021 budget. So I'm going to go ahead and essentially announce that today as a called conference, since our conference schedule is somewhat out of the norm with our COVID schedule. We will be having a vote, a yes or no vote like we normally have, but we want you to ask any questions that you may have. Please try to do that as soon as you can, because our conference will be on Sunday morning, 2 weeks from today, right after our worship service. So if we can get our questions answered before then, please do. Otherwise, we will try to make a provision for people to be able to do that. Don't forget, we're still going to have our end gathering for our Lottie Moon offering once again next week. Our goal was $9,000. You can give through the end of this month. Every dime of that will go to support our international missions. So we're looking forward to seeing what God's going to do in that regard. Now, I'm sure there's probably something I've forgotten. Is there something I have forgot to announce? Besides the offering. All right, on your way out, once again, if you're here in the multi-purpose building, there is a offering box at the door. If you happen to be outside on the grass or in your automobiles, you'll see a box out there on a small table. If you're in our sanctuary, The offering plate's up front. You can drop your offering in there. If you're watching online, you can go to our website, oakridgecbc.org. There's a giving tab there, and we will do the best we can to use every penny that the Lord gives us for His honor, for His glory, to get His word out. So with that, let me ask the blessing upon the offering, and we will look forward to gathering once again. God bless y'all. I love you. You look so good. Online audience looks good. Thank you for staying safe and healthy and being cooperative during COVID-19. Let's pray together. Father, as we come to you once again, we're thankful and grateful for the fact that all provision comes from you. Lord, we're so blessed in many, many ways, more blessed than 99% of the rest of this world. So, Lord, we pray that you would truly help us to be faithful to you. Help us to use our gifts, our talents, and our abilities for your honor, for your glory. And Lord, as we've read in your word today, may we truly accept and receive the invitation from you, the invitation for salvation and the invitation to serve at your side until we have the opportunity to see you in person. So, Lord, I pray that you'll bless each and every family, each and every listener. Give them a double portion of your grace this week and help us to be used in the life of somebody to bring a kind word, a good heart, Lord, a word of testimony for you, that their life might be changed forever simply because of Jesus. Help us, Father, to truly celebrate Christmas for the proper reason, the birth of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Go with us and guide us. Lord, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. I hope everybody has a great day.